We do. Amen. I'm going to pray. Our Father, in the name of Son Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you for this day, dear Jesus. We thank you, dear Lord, for your blessings, dear Lord. We thank you for your presence in this place, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Lord, for the man of God and Sandy Armstrong, dear Jesus, that's here today, dear Lord, to present your word. Dear Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit continues to move mightily in him, dear Jesus, as he shares what's on his heart, directed by the Holy Spirit. Let our hearts be ready to receive, dear Jesus, to open our spiritual ears, open to understand, dear Lord, for what you have in store for us on this day. We thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. How you doing, Leslie? You good? All right. Where's everybody? Is he back? Okay. All right. Thomas, how you doing? Good. Hey, I didn't listen to the concert. I just watched it. On this thing. Did you see that crazy thing? It was definitely a satanic worship service. Wow, it's crazy. Well, anyway, let me, the top of these notes that I have for you today. It says, for the month of a lull, and some glasses are going to help me big time. Okay. Okay. It says, for the month of a lull, whose star constellation is Bethula, which is the Virgin. The month of Elul is known as the month of the bride, okay? It says, my favorite thing about the month of Elul is that it is known as the month of the king in the field. In the Bible, the king would leave the palace during the month of Elul, set out his camp to the field, and everyone was welcome to approach him. Okay, most of the year, the king lives in the palace. By the end of the month of Elul, everyone is face to face with the king. Okay? We are in the month of Elul. And if you look at a Hebrew calendar, it will say you're in the month of Tishri and they're celebrating Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But because of the mishandling of the calendar, of God's calendar, they're a month ahead of time. And so right now we are in the month of Elul, which is the month of the bride. Okay, so, and summer ends September 22nd, which is my biggest high alert day. And then Rosh Hashanah, or the day before Rosh Hashanah after that, because once you hit Rosh Hashanah, the moon reappears back into the sky. And I'll tell you guys the prophecy of that, okay? Then I wanted to talk about this crazy thing I watched. And I'm going to tell you, I watched it, but I did not listen to it. And I'm not trying to make it popular either. So I'm telling you not to watch it. I mean, you can watch it, but put your thing on mute. Because music is definitely a doorway for demonic spirits. And so I would never listen to anything that Kanye West puts out, but he did a concert. The one I saw two, the one he did, if you go to the second page of your notes, that's inside of a football stadium, right? And in the middle, they have a little church set up. Now by the end of the you can see it's on fire right there. So that's about the end. They have a circle around, which In from the very beginning is a satanic worship service, okay? Now, how I know that it's a satanic worship service, I watched in the beginning all of these, the women that were walking around, and he had all women walking around, and they all had hair all the way down to like their calf. That's what it is. It's from a satanic group called the Vril Society, which they loved Hitler. It's a really satanic group called the Vril Society. their thing was, the longer their hair was, the faster they could draw demons to the position where they were. So they all wore their hair real long. So if you look at it, please don't listen to it. If you look at it, you'll see all of them walking around, and they all have, you know, their hair down to the back of their calf, or the, and it's all long because it's a part of the real society and it's part of drawing demons. So they're circled this church and they're doing this satanic service as Kanye is doing songs. Now, the reason I wanted you to know what songs he was doing is because he's calling himself a Christian rapper right now, right? Wow. And, well, I don't know which Jesus, you know, they all Christians. I don't know which Jesus he's worshiping. But these are the titles of the songs. And if you look at some of the titles, you got number six is called Praise God, and then Jonah, and then, you know, I don't know, Heaven and Hell. At the end of the whole concert, he sets himself on fire, which I really liked. But but it was a fire suit, so he wasn't getting hurt. But he didn't know that he had prophesied. Okay, now let's go back to the second page, because I'm like, who's on this album? Okay. He has a song with Jay-Z on the album. Now, should Jay-Z be doing a Christian song? He has a song with Marilyn Manson. Who already quoted on one of the talk shows that his goal is to destroy Christianity, to get Christianity off the face of the planet. So he does a song with Marilyn Manson. Then all these other people, like Travis Scott, I know he's a satanic. And then one of this Pop Smoke, you don't have to worry about him. He got shot in California. But it's Ty Dolla $ign. I mean, he's got every satanic, demonic artist on this album as he's, and then this is the sad thing. This is why I'm sad. You had Christians coming, you know, in the comment section. What an awesome thing that Kanye is doing Christian music. It was very minimal profanity. Ooh. You know what I mean? It's like, it wasn't that much profanity as most of his past work. It was very minimal. And I'm like, when does minimal become the great, you know? So he does this whole thing, and it's a satanic ceremony, okay? So you guys need to know and understand that when he first came and said he was a Christian, God told me he's not a Christian, he doesn't belong to me, he's on tour for Satan. All of his musicians are hired for money. They're not working for me. They're working for Kanye. And so I'm trying to tell Christians, because I saw Christians commenting, what an awesome thing he's doing for the Lord. And it wasn't even that much cursing. We got a long way to go, you guys. I mean, as born again believers, what we say is the family of God. Now, I don't know, because of what Juke told me, they might have hired people to go in and comment and make comments and say, you're doing a good job for Jesus, right? Yeah. To get other Christians to listen, okay? Because Juke woke our brains up. He's like, you know, we got Satanists that are on a mission that we go in looking for good Christian ministries to bring in confusion. And so he says that they hire people to go out. Like if you're preaching, you know, that Jesus Christ is not the only way to heaven, they would hire people to get in on your site to say what a great job you're teaching. And people should really understand how anointed you are, right? They hire people to do that. So you guys have to understand the deception. So that means, first of all, you are responsible for the word of God. Yeah. Yourself, right? So watch and pray is really the title of this message, because we have to have our eyes open about what's going on in the world. We can't be just Christians, like, you know, their heads are in the sand. They're happy with their heads in the sand. They go to church, but they don't know anything that's going on, but they, you know, they know they go to church, right? And so then, and they pray well, and, you know, and God is like, Jesus is like, I told you to watch and pray. I did not just say, just watch or be a good church attendance. I want you to watch and I want you to pray, okay? You should know. I mean, I don't even understand how I was the only black pastor telling people not to vote for Barack Obama because he was a Satanist. I'm like, it wasn't that big of a study for me to find out that Barack Obama was a Satanist. It was not like, you know, I had to go to the library and get out encyclopedias. It's like we're information age, right?
Right.
All you had to do was just click on it. I did read his book, though, the book that they put out for him, and that was pretty telling of itself. So information is there for you to be able to protect yourself, okay? And you have to be able to do that. Yeah. This is my old, this is Rahman Abdul-Rahim's old book. Well, he died. That used to be me because I was 19 and I decided, I think, you know, all the black people are becoming Muslims. Maybe I should be a Muslim. It's like, I know I gave my life to Jesus, but it seems like they are so together and unity and his blackness. And I just started getting embraced with the idea that how nice it looked with their bow ties on, and all the women, and all the women were had their heads covered, and they're, you know, it looked like such unity to me. And then a guy preached to me and told me that it was the black man's religion, and we should not be worshiping Jesus because black people are going to get punished for worshiping a white Jesus, and you needed to be change your slave name to a Muslim name, and if you don't, the gods in the sky that are on the boat are going to kill you. And I was like, I'm 19 like this. Really? Thus, you know, 3 months later, I'm Rahman Abdul-Rahim. And then, let me tell you how good God is, though. If somebody is deceiving you, God will send somebody to pull you out of it.
Yeah.
He sent up a guy who was a Muslim for 11 years, Dada Sahib. And Dada Sahib said, I thought he was a Muslim because he had a bow tie, and I ran around there and I said, As-salamu alaykum. He said, wa alaykum salam. So I went over there, I talked to him. He said, I said, so you a Muslim brother? He went, I used to be for 11 years, but I gave my life to Jesus 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I went, I just became a Muslim. He said, if you don't get out of it, you're going to end up in hell, young man. I was like, wow. You know what I mean? So I'm like, okay. So he said, if you want to study with me, I'll study with you. The first thing he let me know was simple. You have the Torah, okay, that's written first. You have the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament. 600 years after Jesus died, buried, resurrected, the church is growing. 600 years after, you get Muhammad and the Quran. So he's like, the book that you're reading wasn't even written until Jesus was gone for 600 years. And then it came and it says the opposite of the Old Testament and the opposite of the New Testament. So therefore, why are you even believing this? So he said, I know you might need more. So he kept me into studying and reading. He's like, he said, so what, I should read the Bible? He's like, no, I'm going to read the Quran with you, and then we're going to compare it to the Bible, and then we'll see if this is from God or not, okay? So we read Isaiah 53, that, you know, he would brew for, he was for our transgressions and all of this stuff that Christ did for us and his death on the cross. He read other scriptures that Christ was going to die on the cross. And then he said, now open your Quran up and read this. So I read, let's see, where's that? Oh, here it is. I tagged it. It says, and there is none of the people of the scripture, Christians and Jews, but must believe, who believe that Jesus is this, must believe that Jesus is the son of Mary. Let me see. No, this isn't the scripture. Here we are in order to say that killed. Oh, here it is. He read this. He says, and if we had ordered them, saying, nope. I'm going to find it because who said we killed? I could. Okay, here it is. Okay, it says here, glory be to him, far exalted, above having a son, which says that God does not have a son. To him who belongs all the heavens and earth, and Allah is sufficient and everything like that. Then it says, woe to them who are Christians or Jews who say that we killed Christ or that Christ died on the cross. For surely he did not die. And an imposter was put on the cross in place of him. And it is a curse, and people who say that he died on the cross have no knowledge. That's in the Quran. So when I read that, what I think, oh my goodness, they're saying that Jesus never died on the cross. They're saying Jesus never died on the cross 600 years after the fact that he already did. So when I came, was trying to go back to Christianity, who did I blame? I said, my church didn't teach me, and my church didn't, and my pastor wasn't diligent, and we didn't have good Bible study, and that's why. And the Lord stopped me and said, you had a Bible and you had free time. So how is it that you're blaming your pastor, which he agreed is no good, but as a Christian, it is your responsibility to know the word of God. And so we have to be diligent about who we allow to teach us the Bible, who we sit down and listen to, who we click on when we get on YouTube, and we just sit there and listen to the whole message, and then you're confused, and then they call me or send me a message. I listened to this guy's whole message, and now I'm confused, and I want to know if this is true. Then I have to go through scripture by scripture to tell them why it's not true, which I don't mind because that's my responsibility as a pastor. But you don't just drop your Christianity off with anybody. You understand? We have children, and we would never take our child to a daycare before we investigated whether they were good people or not. You would not just, oh, well, they seem to be okay. You would not do that. So the responsibility of knowing the word of God is for us. Praise God. All right, I want us to go to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 4. And we're going to be in verse 8. And it says here, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also who ascended up far above all heaven, that he might fill all things. God wanted you to know that in his Bible, before Jesus went up, he went down. To do what? To lead captivity captive. The scripture says, and leading captivity captive means those who had been in paradise in the middle of the earth, because they were Old Testament saints. They were in the middle of the earth in paradise year after year after year, asking the question, how long do we have to be here? It wasn't a bad place. It was called Abraham's bosom. It was paradise. But across from Abraham's bosom, in Luke chapter 16, it tells us what? That the rich man and the poor man lived in two separate sections in the middle of the earth. Yeah. And even though on this side they had water, on that side they were in torment and pain and had no water. Okay? When Jesus died on the cross, before he ascended up, he went down because there are people there that are righteous, that walked according to the law, who have been waiting for the door of heaven to be open.
Yeah.
So he led those who had been captive, he led them captive. And I think it's in Proverbs that he led them into the heavens like a train. And I mean like the gown, you know, the train of a gown on a wedding. And he said they followed him into heaven like a train follows a bride.
Yeah.
And so that was the first resurrection of the saints. Okay. And they were Old Testament saints. Now comes a second resurrection of saints, which is going to be the church. And this is when he descends. He's coming out, coming back for the rapture. He's coming down.
Right.
Okay. He's coming down and he's calling you up. So once he comes down and he calls you up, then you will be led like a train up to glory, and then it will become our new day. Now, there's a lady who had went through the Holocaust at the synagogue, and she said every year, you know, we would say, she said even in the she said she was a little girl in the Holocaust, but she said the adults would always say next year in Jerusalem, like next year we're going to be in Jerusalem. And they said they would sing that going through the Holocaust. They would sing next year in Jerusalem. She said, do you know what we based it on? The Torah told us that we would go out of the land, but that he would bring us back. And we believe that. Even in the midst of the Holocaust, she had her numbers tattooed. This lady's like, I'm no joke, right? She's like, I'm telling you, we had hope. And our hope was that one day it would happen. She said, as she got older, when 1945 came and she heard that they were being rescued, she thought, oh my God, it's true. She's like, maybe it's going to happen. So she said they all sing next year in Jerusalem, but it didn't happen in 1945. But she said in 1947, when they said to her, when they said the UN all met and said, we're going to give the land back to the Jews. She said they celebrated like, and everybody was trying to get out of Europe and get back to Israel and everything. And she said when it happened in 1948, she said she spent the whole day crying. Not crying because she's sad, but like joy, what those older people were singing about has happened. She said, that's my experience, okay? Now, we've got a lot of older people who their song is next year in Jerusalem. But through what? Through the rapture of the church going up.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Why do we believe it? Because the Bible says so. You understand? She had no hope in the Holocaust unless the word of God was telling her that they were going to return. Okay? So our hope is still next year in Jerusalem. Next year, we're always hoping for the exit. Okay? Now, this month, in the month of Elul, being the month of the bride, is very significant. Some guy showed me something. September 22nd is the end of the summer, and the wheat harvest is a wheat harvest, and it's a summer harvest, right? September 22nd is the end of the harvest. Revelation chapter 22, it ends in verse 20 and 21. And he said, did you know that? And I said, yeah, I did, but it seems so simple. I said, if it's that simple and we leave on that day, I'm going to laugh for eternity. Because we've been doing all this studying and running back and constellations and minus the two, add the four. And if it was right there in Revelation all the time, I told him I'm going to laugh for eternity. But we need to know and understand we are in those days, okay? We are in those days. Let's go through some other stuff here. I need you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Are you there? Yeah. Amen. It says, study so you can argue with people and prove to them that you know the Bible better. No, don't say that. All right. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God. So this is between who? You and God, okay? A workman that neither not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of God. What does it mean to divide? That Greek word that says divide means to stay on the line that God has cut. It doesn't mean you're going to divide the word and say this part belongs to me and this part belongs to the Gentiles and this part belongs to the Jews. You're not dividing the word like that. The word is one big unit, okay? It's like the Trinity. There are 66 books. There are 22 Hebrew alphabets, right? 66 books, all 66 books is one. 22 and 22, Trinity, one book, okay? So understand and know that dividing the word, it means that you're staying on a straight line. Do not veer from cutting on the line, because if you veer, now you got a curve and you're ending up somewhere you don't want to. So God is saying, look, divide the word properly, cut straight, okay? Stay on the straight line, okay? Then it says, but shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase more and more, okay? So you got some vain stuff that's being talked about, being taught, but God says for you to do what? Shun it. That means push it away, okay? And it says, and their words will eat as doth a canker, of whom the Hamathus and Philetus, I can't really go into that. It says, who concerning the truth have erred. That was these two guys who were out preaching the word of God because they called themselves. You understand? They call themselves, and they're out preaching the word of God. And it says, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrew the faith of some. So through their preaching, what did they do? They caused others to fall. So therefore, if you say, I'm going to preach the gospel, I'm going to get a YouTube channel, and I'm going to preach the gospel, you better make sure you talk to the boss and you were sent. You understand? Because if God did not call you, you are not supposed to be teaching doctrine. Because if you get it wrong, that means you're held responsible. That's why the Bible says in James, it is for anyone who is teaching the word of God and God has not called, it says your judgment will be stronger. So it's not, but I'm not as concerned about the people that are teaching it as I'm concerned about the people that the God was telling me this morning. It's like dropping your kids off at a babysitter you don't know. It's like, here's my Christianity, enjoy it for a little while. I'll be back after work. And then you come back and your kid is like, you know, what is going on? Do you know this lady is crazy? And you're like, well, I just met her this morning. She seemed nice, you know? Or I just, so guys, like every time you click on stuff, because you just want to hear, You don't investigate. You don't see that this person had problems in the past, right? So we have to know and understand what's going on. Let's see. Amen. Okay. Now, I want us to go to the book of Matthew. Okay. Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. Are you there? Okay. Chapter 14 says this, but straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there are that find it. I'm going to make sure. Okay, are you there in your Bible? Stay there because we're going to go back, okay? Because this is very important, and I want you guys to know and understand this. Because in this life, you have a gift that it is the only thing that you possess that you can give to God. And what is that?
Your will.
Your will. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. Do you know that? You can walk out here and do anything you want. So you have your will. And when you give your will over to God, it's a gift to Him. It shows love, because if your wife willingly loves you, it's better than she loves you because she's scared of you.
Right.
Okay? Or she loves you because you said you're better. You know, she loves you because she's given her will over to you. And so you have this, and you're able to either go left or go right, but it's always yours. But this is the parable in the book of Esdras, in the Apocrypha, that I need to tell you about. And let me make sure, when I finish speaking the words of the angel in the form of things he spoke to me. Okay. He says in Apocrypha, it's the seventh and the sixth verse, it says, there is a city built set on a plain, and it is full of good things, but the entrance to it is narrow and set in a difficult place, so that there is fire on the right side, on the right hand, and there is deep water on the left. And there is only one path lying between them, that is between the fire and the water, so that only one man can walk upon that path. If now that city is given to a man for an inheritance, how will the heir receive his inheritance unless he passes through the danger set before him? I said, he cannot, Lord. He said to me, so also is Israel. And he's speaking to all people. He says, for I made the world for their sake, and when Adam transgressed my statutes, what had been made was judged. So the entrance of the world, the entrance of the world were made narrow and sorrowful and toilsome. They are few and evil, full of danger, and involves great hardship. But the entrance to the greater world are broad and wide. So the entrance to this world is broad and wide, and many go that way. Therefore, unless the living pass through the difficult, vain experience, they can never receive the things that have been reserved for them. So what's been reserved for you? Heaven. But how do you get there? You have to go through this narrow road. What's the narrow road? You have to have an earth experience. To get there, you're going to have to go through an earth experience, and God likens the earth experience to be the road is so narrow, you have to stay on it. There's deep water you can drown on this side, and there's fire on this side, and if you're going to get to where you need to get, you have to stay on the straight and narrow. And that's what God is trying to tell all of us as believers, okay? So when you get to a book like Matthew, this is coming from a place. It says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. So God's saying, getting to heaven is narrow and not a whole bunch of people. I was at a football game last night. Know what I realized? It wasn't a Christian event. When you get out in public, you realize, wow, everybody doesn't love Jesus, because we live in such a narrow, you know, room. All of our friends are Christians. You know, when we're talking, we never hear profanity. Last night, we had earful. It was like Richard Pryor was sitting on this side. Richard Pryor was sitting on that side. It was like just profanity. And we're sitting there going, wow, these people have like no respect. And the beers were just coming. It's like, what do you need beer for at a football game? I don't know. Anyway, they just selling, the beer is selling out, right? And I'm realizing, oh my God, the majority of people don't know Christ. So that means what you have is very unique.
Yes. Yes.
And very precious. So that means that you must be very precious to God. Now, the Apocrypha says one thing. If you had a precious piece of gold or platinum, would you go out and smash mud against it and then paint over it with gold paint so that you can have a bigger piece of gold?
No,
you wouldn't do that, right? And God is saying that's not what I'm going to do either. You know what I mean? I'm only concerned about the center portion, the gold that is there. That is what I'm trying to save. I am not trying to save the mud. I'm not trying to save anything else. I'm here for the precious gold, which are the people of God. But it's a very narrow road to get there. And if you teach Christians that it's a broad road and you can get there sinning, and you can get there any other way than Jesus Christ, you're going to send that person on the wrong road, and you're going to make them veer. They're going to get off the line of what Jesus Christ has given them to make it into the kingdom. So you begin to tell them things like, once you're saved, you're always saved. You're okay. You know what I mean? God understands. He's grading on a curve. And you get to the point where you're trying to get people to understand that it doesn't matter how they live. There's no rules. You can just go and do what you want to do. And this is not correct thinking. It's like having a son and saying, I know you're getting married, but after you say I do, you can go back to dating other women and hanging out in the clubs and drinking and spend your money any way you want. Don't worry, she'll always love you.
Yeah,
we'll see. See, you got a lady that's laughing, right? Because she knows.
That ain't even.
She knows he's in danger every time he closes his eyes. And his empty bags are almost packed, right? She knows.
Oh, yeah.
And God knows too. God knows, like, when you come into it, we're going to be in a relationship, and I expect it to be a relationship. And so don't let people, if you have a problem, and we have plenty of them coming into this, I got it. I mean, what didn't I need deliverance from? You know, what didn't I need deliverance from? I'm a regular at Paradise Bar. You know, I'm on pervert row every night. And that's what they called it, right? Got a whole handful of dollars and sitting on Pervert Row, and you like what?
Oh, mercy.
Yeah, I'm glad you don't know. That's good. You ain't supposed to know. So listen. I told, coming out of there, I told some girl that I was a Christian. Coming out of there, I told her, oh, I'm a Christian. I became a Christian when I was 17. She told her, sister, he ain't no Christian. Stop talking to him.
Good.
I was like, I am a Christian. I will get her. Now I'm thinking I can live like this and do this and everything was okay. So that means mentally, yeah, something was wrong with me, or I was having some bad preaching, right? Yeah. Or I was preaching to myself, right? I was my favorite member, right? Something wasn't right. So we're on a narrow road. Now, I need to read this.
You got almost 15 minutes.
That's good, Pastor Ben. Okay, now. I want you guys to listen. Just listen to this scripture. It says, and he said to me, in the beginning of the circle of the earth, before the portals of the world were in place, and before the assembly of the wind. Do you know there's portals into the earth?
Yeah.
Did you know that? I had to find this out, that there were portals, you know, because, let me grab mine. No, I don't need the markers. I just need to grab this, okay? Because the Lord wants me to tell you, you are responsible for knowing. You can't just pray and not watch. You understand? And you can't lend your Christianity to people who are lying to you, okay? You can't do it. You're responsible. You understand? And I want to emphasize that. What God has given to you is a precious gift of gold, and you're responsible for it, right? Don't get it stolen, and don't lend it to people that you don't trust. You understand? So, the Lord was just trying to show me all of the things that are going on in the world that we've shown people, and even after we showed the people these things, they are still doing the same thing with their Christianity. They're still gambling with it, playing with it. Okay, now, this guy, and I'm going to find him right here. This guy. Oh, that's something. Here he is. Okay. Show this picture, Pastor Ben, on this screen. See this guy? He built a tunnel in Arizona, and his expertise is knowing where the portals are to make sounds and music to draw demons into these portals. He is very well known for the ability to open portals, okay? You see there, Barack Obama is giving him an award at the White House. You're like, what is this guy doing that Barack Obama's giving him an award at the White House? Well, he knows how to open portals. So I'll show you what he built. He built a tunnel. Here's the tunnel. That's the tunnel that's in Arizona. You see that? Now watch this. That's Kanye West's album. Kanye West donated $10 million to him. So if this guy is an expert at building portals, using sound and building portals to invite demons in, and Kanye West goes and sees him and gives him $10 million as a gift, for what? You didn't buy anything from him. He bought knowledge from him. What musical sounds do I need to put in my album to open portals for demons? So he showed him. And Kanye said, well, in honor of you, I'm going to make my album cover the same as the portal and the entrance that you built in Arizona. So if you don't know that, when Kanye West started having church service at his house, all the women had hair down to the back of their calves, right? And if you know nothing about the real society and their hair and drawing demons, you just think that they're just praising God and they just got long weaves that day. But the thing is, it's my responsibility as a pastor to know. It's your responsibility as a born-again Christian to watch and pray. To not just someone say to you, I'm a born-again Christian, and you just jump in and start believing it.
Right. Amen.
This guy here, he went to India to learn Kundalini. Do you notice that in prayer service, did anybody hit the ground and just start shaking and squirming? And did you make anybody fall? That is not a Christian act. There's nobody that goes, fire, and everybody falls to the ground. I've never seen that in the Bible. But God is like, Jesus is like, I'm going to heal you all, fire. And then everybody falls to the ground, and then they start shaking and squirming. That's not Christianity. But if you start doing church, you'll do what the tradition or what the satanic operation of that church is doing. And you'll fall into it, and it'll become a part of your lifestyle. And you won't know this isn't church, because people are falling out and you're saying, oh, they're being slain by the spirit. What spirit? Okay, now, see this guy, he's in India. You know who told him to go there to learn Kundalini? That's him with his best friend, Benny. So Benny's like, hey, you know, he's like, how do you do this? How do you make people fall down? Did you pay him? He's like, no, it's Kundalini. This is how you can use this to make people think that you're godly by making people fall and squirmer on the floor. Because you're going to put the spirit on it, and it's going to make them shake out of control, and it'll look like the spirit's really got control of them. See, we fell for all this stuff for many years. But God's saying, it's time for me to bring my people home. There's things they need to repent of. And some of it is playing these church games.
5 minutes.
Praise God. This was him at his service. Look at all the people on the ground. See all those people on the ground? Okay. Whoever heard the term going down the rabbit's hole? Okay? Or what's the cartoon for Disney? Falling down the rabbit hole, all these things. Okay. Listen. I have the mind of Christ. Sometimes I dumb myself down because I play football. But I have the mind of Christ now. God wanted me to study the constellations. Every year I tell people, stop including the bunny rabbit in your Easter service, and stop calling it Easter, because Easter is a female goddess that they sacrifice children to. So one of the star constellations is called Lupus, and it means the enemy of God. And it is the star constellation of a rabbit. So every Easter, people are, oh, we're going to get a bunny rabbit, an Easter basket, and blah, 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 all this stuff. And so church is still doing Easter, and everybody knows that Easter is the name of a goddess that they sacrifice children to. And then the whole thing is that it's celebrated with Lupus, the rabbit, because in the constellations, the title of it is the enemy of God. So if you don't know, then you should find out. You shouldn't just go in and let's do tradition and let's do whatever the church is showing us to do and not ask yourself the question, why are we doing this? Why are these kids outside looking for eggs? It's hot. Right? They got Easter clothes, they're outside looking for eggs. And you're like, where did this come from? Came from the worship of Easter. Going out and finding the children to bring her back and to bring her back to the goddess so that she can sacrifice them. So you guys have to know and understand, we're responsible for the word of God. We're not just responsible for praying, we're also responsible for watching. Study to show thyself approved. Don't just do what they tell you to do. There's a word, there was one word in the Greek language that equals 666. And you know what that word is? Tradition. So God already knows. That's why Jesus says, why do you keep people from the word of God with your traditions? Because traditions is not Christianity. So what is Christianity? It is a day-to-day relationship between you and God. It's going all the way back to Adam, before the church, before there was any buildings, before there was anywhere to go. He couldn't go to any church. There was no churches. He couldn't clock in anywhere. Like, look, I went to church, God. He couldn't do that. So there was nothing. It was just a relationship between him and God. Him asking questions. If there was a book, I'm sure he would have read it so he can learn more about God. So God wants to know, how is our relationship? Are we spending time together? Are we intimate? Because if you're in a relationship with God, and if you're truly a Christian, you have an intimate relationship with God. Intimacy does not mean once a month we get together on Sunday. Hello. Intimacy means that every day. I don't remember after me and Drea met, I don't remember a day that we didn't talk or go somewhere or something was going on, right? We were in communication because we were in a relationship. Intimacy means that you're day to day with God. He's part of your every day. You understand? That means, because if God is a part of you every day, you can't offend him and then walk away as if nothing happened.
Amen.
But if he's not a part of you every day, you can offend God, fall into sin, get further and further, because you're not talking to him. You don't even know if he's offended, how he feels about what you're doing. You haven't asked, right? So you're not in relationship, right? I don't know you. Away from me, I don't know you. You know what word that was? It's the same word that Mary said. She said, how can I have a child when I don't gnosko a man? I have no intimate relationship with a man. And then Christ says, away from me, I will say, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but them that do the will of the Father. And he says, they will say, away from me, I don't know you, gnosko. We never had an intimate relationship. Or our intimacy was broken. You spent your time doing something else and we weren't in relationship. So Christianity is not hard. My wife don't like it, but I always say going to church is not the most important thing for you to do for Christianity. Being in your word is the most important thing. Being in your closet, being praying, okay? Now, one of the things is that we should gather together because the Bible tells us to, right? Forsake not the assembly, that the Bible tells it. But the forsaking is the assembly, okay?
Right.
This is not an intimate day with God, I want you guys to know.
Right.
You're doing this out of obedience.
Right.
This is not intimacy, okay? A group date is not intimacy. It is not. You can't bring 12 friends on a date with your wife and say, I brought some friends. We're going to have an intimate night. No, you're not. Yeah, candlelight for 12, right? Me and 12. That's not intimacy. So that means that sometime it needs to be you and God that get together for prayer. You and God that get together to study the word, okay? How much time I got, Pastor Ben? Am I out? Okay, I need to want to say one more thing, and then I'm done. Okay, someone asked me this question, so I'm reading it so that they know. Okay, now it says here, because I taught on this on Thursday, Pastor Ben, the trumpet. Somebody's asking me about the secret rapture. Oh, when the secret rapture comes, I was like, Parker said, ain't nothing secret about the rapture. So don't think that we just gonna disappear and people are like, where'd they go? That was weird, you know? That's not gonna happen like that. Listen to how it's said. It says in the Apocrypha how it's gonna happen. It says, and the trumpet shall sound aloud. You hear that? And when all hear it, they will suddenly be terrified. Now, when they hear the trumpet, what are you gonna hear?
Come up here.
Amen. They're going to hear a blast, and you're going to hear, come up here. Hey, babe. You'll hear, hey, babe, come on up. Right? But the world will hear a blast. Like we that earthquake the other night. Uh-huh. We was like, ah! we was ready to hit the door, right? See, the Bible says when the trumpet blasts, the world's going to be terrified. And if you disappeared in front of your best friend, she's going to be terrified, or he's going to be terrified. You understand? Yeah. Now watch this. It says that the trumpet shall sound, and when all hear it, they will suddenly be terrified. At that time, friends shall make war on friends, like enemies, and the earth and those who inhabit it shall be terrified. And the springs of the fountain shall stand still, so that for 3 hours they shall not flow. So after we leave, everything's just going to shut down.
Yeah.
You understand? Look, this is not going to be a small event, and it's not going to be a quiet event. They will know as soon as it happens what happened, okay? Now, it says here, and it shall be that. And it says, and it shall be that whosoever remains after all that I have foretold to you shall he himself be saved, and he shall see my salvation and the end of the world. What's going to happen at the end of the world? And they, when they, it says, and they shall see men who were taken up, who from their birth have not tasted death. So he said, when Christ returns, they're going to see men who are taken up, who have not tasted death since birth, right? And the heart of the earth's inhabitants shall be changed and converted to a different spirit. So God is saying, when that trumpet blasts, the world's going to be terrified. We're going to go up, and the world's going to be enemies and begin to fight against each other. Micah says, don't even trust your best friend, right? Now, once that happens, the world's going to be terrified, okay? But then he says, but when we return, people are going to see those people that have never tasted death since birth. They're going to see people that disappeared, like the people that disappeared are coming back with Jesus. And so if you don't know and understand, the rapture is a 7-day honeymoon, like every bride in a Jewish setting gets. You get your full 7 days. So once we go up, we're on a honeymoon. We're done until, because Christ has to return. Why? He has to rescue Israel, and he has to collect the fruit harvest.
Yeah.
Because the wheat harvest is leaving. So understand this. This is something that God has given to us that is so precious. Every day I'm waiting for it. This month I'm waiting for it. Rosh Hashanah or before Rosh Hashanah, I'm waiting on it. Because it's 2021, I'm really waiting on it, right? Because like that Jewish lady at the synagogue, I know because the word of God says two will be in one place, one will be taken and the other one left, is really going to happen one day. And so this is my hope for all Christians. But I don't want you to listen to everything, because it only takes a little curve to get you off. I'm in a Bible study right now with a guy trying to pull him out of Black Hebrew Israelites. Why? Because he listened to somebody that told him that Jesus only died for Black people. And we're the true Hebrews, right? And he said, it's not like I don't believe in Jesus, he says. I still believe in Jesus, so I'm still saved. No, the Jesus you believe in, died for Black people. The Jesus I believed in died for the whole world, whosoever.
Yeah.
So we're on two different Jesus right now. Mm-hmm. You've believed another gospel.
Yeah.
I know I gave you guys a lot today, but I want you to know you can't just be in Christianity with your head down praying. Sometimes you got to look up and watch. You've got to see what's going on around you. You've got to know. I'm sorry, Pastor Ben. March 11th, 2018. I have the thing here. March 11th, 2018. I have a picture of it. They announced there's a pandemic in the world. March 11th, 1918. They announced to the world there's a pandemic. There's pictures in black and white of everybody walking around with masks on. It started March 11, 1918. March 11, 2020 started our pandemic. So do you think somebody started them on special days belonging to Satan? Because you would have to go, that's peculiar. How could it start since 1918, here's 2020, how could they start it on the exact same day? Because they're worshiping Lucifer and 11's their number.
Yeah.
But if you don't watch, if you're not watching, you just think, oh, look, that's peculiar. It just happened to the same exact day. Well, they must be, you know, making the medicine for our good because they love us.
Yeah.
Nephilim love you? No. You need a whole lot of studying to find out what war you're in so that you know how to conduct yourself. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.